Fiserr is a Dutch company, a scale-up, that automates picking in logistics. So we're a software company.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Jim Beretta, and my guest for A3, the Robot Industry Podcast, is Herbert Ten Hav. He is an innovative business leader with more than three decades of experience in building high-tech products and services. In his career, he's held leadership positions from product and marketing manager to international sales and marketing director. As a serial entrepreneur, Herbert has successfully founded and run multiple high-tech companies. He effortlessly rides the wave of inherent challenges that come with technology and loves sharing his expertise. Today, as CEO of Fiserr, Herbert is committed to building the best vision software product to enable Fiserr's partners to provide cutting-edge robotic picking solutions for the logistics industry. Herbert, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Hey, and tell us a little bit about Fiserr.
It started in 2014 by a robotics professor, Martijn Wisse, of the Delft University, as a spin-off. He brought together six very brilliant people, and so they started off as under the name Delft Robotics, integrating robots. So they built picking cells for different applications in the Netherlands. And at some point in 2016, they participated in the Amazon Picking Challenge, and then they, to their surprise, they won both challenges, both picking and stowing. And I joined later in January 2017. And to be honest, we directly pivoted and stopped doing robotics from that moment on and became a computer vision software-only company.
And so what are some of the big challenges that are presented to you now? And I think that's a really good idea to pivot and leave the robots to someone else.
Correct, yes. The whole challenge is dealing with variations in shape, size, color, material, and how it's stacked. And so actually dealing with unknown objects or products. And therefore, we use a neural network. So that's the essence of our solution.
And can you tell us a little bit about this neural network? Is that bordering on AI or is that a different thing?
Correct. It's we apply supervised learning. So we have a lot of images from the robust environment of our clients. And so we label them, annotate them with a tool and with a team. And then we train. And it's deep learning. And so it becomes good at generalizing. Like we as human beings, we can see if it's a box or a bag, and we know how to grasp it. So actually we train it to become a toddler of 1 or 2 year old that can pick unknown items. And that's where we get money from.
Nice. And you also have a partnership with a company that I know fairly well and I've visited before, is AWL. Can you tell our audience a little bit about that?
Sure. Actually, I didn't know them up till more than a year ago. And then they approached us. They worked with one of our colleagues in the market, a U.S. Company and, let's say, competitor. And they had some issues. And they asked if we could solve them. And for us, we've seen that before, so we could easily show them how it could be solved. And so that's how we started to work together. It's now, let's say, a bit more than 1 year ago, and we've built quite some successes together.
Can you tell us about some of the challenges and use cases that you're getting involved in? And of course, we understand you can't sometimes use the brand or company name.
Sure. Now, first of all, we work with integrators, so because they have to integrate our hardware, and we see two types of integrators. One is just robotics integrators, like Yaskawa Motorman, or in this case AWL, and there are system integrators that have a complete ASRS, automated storage and retrieval system, like Van der Lande, like Fabric, etc. And so we sell through both type of integrators. And with AWL, we focused on two applications. One is parcel induction, which is mostly parcels up to 5 kilo, so small parcels to induct them on an infeed of a sorter. And secondly, on depalletization of a mixed SKU.
And so you're doing depalletizing. You're doing truck unloading and truck. And other applications. What's most popular for you right now?
I would say item picking in e-commerce. That's we've got quite some clients we're using that in production, and parcel induction is picking up quickly. So I would say that those are the two big domains. And we also getting more installations of depalletization. So we did two installations last week. And so we either it's picking boxes from a pallet. So that's often in 3PLs, etc. So they get unknown items on a box. But we also pick big bags of anything. Could be milk powder, could be oatmeal or anything. So bags of, I have to say it in pounds for the English people, so it's 30 kilos, so it's around 70 pounds.
And what are some of those industry challenges? I mean, we talked a little bit about injuries and turnover rates, but what's, from your perspective, why are they buying?
So there is a shortage of people, that's for sure. And in this case of the DPL, it's, like I said, it's a heavy item, so they don't want people to do this anymore. And so they already have a lot of trouble with the unions. And if they get people, then they don't want to do the work, or they get sick, or they go to your neighbor if they pay you, let's say, $1 more, and off they go. So it's hard to get them, hard to keep them. And so they want to automate this. First of all, of course, for a business case, but most of all, for making sure they can do the job. Because if there are no people doing the simulation anymore, induction, then they have an issue.
Of course. And how do you charge for the software now? And how does a company subscribe to your service?
Okay. We license out our software. That's where we make money. Actually, we grew Bootstrap, so we're quite proud of that. So we learned a lot. And we have two models. One is CAPEX, so they pay it all at once. And the other one is OPEX, so operational expenditure. And that can be per robot per year. But we also have one client now that pays per pick. So we are able to go together with our integrator. And if they have a model that goes pay per pick, then we're more than happy to support him. And we license out in that way as well. And some of our integrators have 5-year contract with the end user, so we align, so we are flexible.
And that's typically very Dutch, right, is to be flexible for your customers.
I don't know. Jim, the trouble we had as company is we had the university as main investor, or investor, yes, as shareholder. They didn't invest money. They just said from the start, Herbert, make profit. And when are you going to make profit? So that was tough, really tough. So we had to ask money to all our clients, like Van der Landen. We were working for Van der Landen for 5 years. So we always charged money at the end of the month. And that means they will tell you exactly what they need. And so you have to make sure you deliver. And it also validates your product, because if they pay, you're bringing value.
Absolutely. And can you name some of your partners or integrators? I mean, we've already named AWL.
Sure. AWL is a nice one. We have friends. We also have end users, which is really nice. One of them is we've been working for a few years is EssilorLuxottica, which you're wearing glasses, which is, yes, Ray-Ban and Oakley. It's one of the huge biggest companies in the world. So they've been using our software directly. So this is one of the few end users that doesn't need an integrator. They say, we are happy with your software, we can work with it directly. And we also do a lot in groceries. So grocery picking and stacking. We also do placement, like playing Tetris. And one of them is, probably you know them, they're also in the US. It's called Fabric. Mm-hmm. So they're, yes, based in Tel Aviv and in the US. Yeah. And most of those clients we've never visited. We've never been there. I've never been there. And they are using our software in production. So it's really nice.
That's excellent. And how has the pandemic changed you for the new normal, especially in Europe?
It was tough because we did get an investment. So we had a small investment round because we wanted to grow faster. But the moment we got the money, finally, after all those years, the pandemic started. So we couldn't spend it. So that was not nice. But soon after, we felt, we got the feedback from our clients in the summer. No, we're not stopping investment. We're going faster because e-commerce is raising. So it's going faster. So, but from an operational point of view, we always gave freedom to our people to work from home if they wanted, or even from their home country, if they would go for towards, let's say, Italy or Spain or India for a month or two, then we would support them. They would continue to work. So everything was automated, so we could work in the cloud, and so that was not an issue. So we've been flexible, and but I'm really glad we could travel again in the last month. Yes. But now it's blocked again, of course.
And do you find that your end user structure is changing at all? Like you doing more work with integrators, of course.
There is more. There up till I think 2 years ago, we often did pilots. They tried us out and they looked at us as sniffing, etc. And yes, they were not very concrete. So they were just, they were investing, they were progressing. But I think in the last year, we found that there is pressure on people and they want to move forward. They were very concrete. We need to go in production in May, and this is the timeline. And then we start with one cell, and then there is four cells, and there is etc. So they there is more pressure. They are very serious, and there is no doubt about it that they want to automate, for instance, truck unloading. It's a big issue.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, we were just talking about that earlier on the podcast. So it's a very exciting time for automation and robotics and software. Can you tell our audience a little bit about the Pfizer team? Because this is one of the big challenges that you've had, right, is to build up this team to scale up the business.
I think I was lucky. We're close to the university. We're in the university building, and we attracted a lot of people from different countries. So we are sponsored, so we are sponsored, so we can hire highly skilled immigrants. So we have currently 12 nationalities in our team, and the last 11 hires were all from outside of the Netherlands. So, and I think because we also do open source, we have a very good name out there in developers, and so we've been, quite lucky getting very good people around, and we get open applicants almost daily.
Well, that's very exciting. But tell us a little bit about your team activities, because I think this is a really unique perspective for on your company.
Well, yeah, no, we haven't done a lot in the last. So we've got a hangboard in the company. Now it's we went away, of course. We do hikes together, go some drinks and eating. We often eat cook dinner ourselves as well with the group. We've been to Romania, we've been to Greece, we've been sailing. So, of course, we do all those kind of activities. But at the end, it's all about letting go, because I'm not an expert at all. It's all about the team. And so they motivate each other, and they attract also brilliant new people. And So I won't take credit for that. It's the team themselves that are so, we've got people from the start, four people from the early start in 2014, still yes, on board as employee and a shareholder.
Well, that's great. And where, can you tell us a little bit about Delft? Where is that in the Netherlands?
It's between Rotterdam and The Hague. And Delft University is the biggest technical university of the Netherlands, so it's bigger than all the other technical universities together. So it's Delft is a small town, but it's 10 minutes by train to The Hague or to Rotterdam, and to Amsterdam it'd probably be 40 minutes.
So it's pretty easy to get to. I have been to Delft with my wife many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Have we forgotten anything, Herbert, to chat about today?
I said that we are software only, so I've not been to clients, so we can support them remotely. So we're hardware agnostic, etc. Yeah, there's all features. So I'm okay with the interview as you did it, Jim.
And what do you like to do when you're not selling AI software?
I like sports, outdoor sports. So I live on a small island, actually in Dordrecht, which is the oldest city of Holland. And I've got quite some kayaks in front of my house. I've got a boat in front of my house. I've got a sub, stand-up paddling. We swim in the harbor in the summer. I'm very close to the Biesbos. And actually, I came back from running 1 hour ago, which I do almost every other day with a group of friends. And I cycle as well, and I play field hockey, and you name it.
So you're just busy guy all around.
No, the company is really, it's like, I don't know, in Dutch we call it like a boys' book. We love it. We live it. It's my biggest fear would be somebody offering 100 million and just to buy the company, and then what? Because it's my baby. I like building it, and I like the team and what we're doing. So it gives me energy, and also running with friends, doing social things, also give me energy. So no, I'm very pleased. I think I'm blessed.
Well, that's wonderful. And how can people in our listening audience get a hold of you if they want to find out a little bit more about Pfizer?
Of course, they can connect with me on LinkedIn. If they want to know more about the team, etc., just go via our website and show your interest. Like I said, we get daily people that are interested, often also for interns or projects. And so we will reply. So we love to give you feedback.
And for those out there listening, Pfizer is spelled Fizyr,
correct? That's correct. That's correct.
Well, thank you for joining us today. I certainly appreciate it.
It was a pleasure, and have a nice day.
Our sponsor for this episode is Ehrhardt Automation Systems. Ehrhardt builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Ehrhardt can build for you. And that's info@ehrhardtautomation.com. And Ehrhardt is Ehrhardt. And I'd like to thank our partner, A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. They are the leading automation trade association for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and the industrial artificial intelligence technologies. Visit automate.org to learn more. And I'd like to thank our partner, Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO and digital social marketing and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And you can find them at paintedrobot.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Traction Industrial Marketing. I'd like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Chris Colvin for audio production, my partner, Janet, our partners, A3, Painted Robot, and our sponsor, Ehrhardt Automation Systems.